right, welcome to the Free Stretch final edition of the show, pre-draft, here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we are ready. I mean, we are now exactly 1 week away as I record on this Thursday morning on April 22nd. 1 week from today, tonight at 8 p.m., the NFL draft will start sometime after that, several hours, in fact. The Bucks will make their pick at number 32, if they pick at number 32, which is where they're scheduled to pick. And, you know, that could be near midnight, or I don't even remember what it was last year when the 32nd pick happened, but it was, I think, between 11 and midnight, if I can't remember correctly. But point is, this is the final show we're going to do before that, because next week I'm not going to bother with a Thursday morning show when the draft is that night. I'll just wait and do it on Friday when we know what happened in the first round. So we're going to set it all up for you today. We got a lot going on. You know, the NFL owners did their meetings and had some rule changes approved and others that didn't make it. The draft, like I said, a few other things as well. So it's an exciting week. The NFL schedule is going to be announced in a couple of weeks. That's been put till after the draft for the second consecutive year. It used to be before. But nevertheless, all kinds of things are happening here. So thanks for taking the time today. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, who always sponsor the Free Stretch. And right now, you've got the April sales event going on, so they got a lot of different deals going on if you go over there. No matter how you want to do it, whether it's in person, at the lot, and the showroom, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry, where they've always been, on the east side of the road there just past Hillsboro, you can go check them out. Huge showroom, huge lot. If not, go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. It's spelled C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. And you can do everything from home now. I mean, this is something they do, even besides COVID. They just do this because it's nice for people to be able to have. Shop online. They'll bring you a car to test drive. They'll bring you the car if you buy it. If you buy a car from them, by the way, they'll even come to your place and service it and do stuff like that at your house. Like, these are all things that happen nowadays. So they'll do all that. No matter which way you go, though, in person, online, new, pre-owned, whatever, you get the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty with your car. If you have engine trouble with your car that you bought from Bill Curry Ford, even if it's years from now, if you're still the one who owns it, you can bring it back in to the service center. They will take care of you. You get the first year of oil changes and all that service taken care of as well. 10 years roadside assistance. Everything else, if you buy a truck, they'll throw in a bed liner and all the things that you want to get done with that. So just get it checked out is basically what I'm telling you. If you're looking for a car right now, or even if you didn't think you were, but maybe you think your car's worth something, go for a trade-in and see what they can do for you. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, or online at BillCurryFord.com. And thanks to them, as always. I know Sean Sullivan, the GM over there, is a huge draft guy. He's always got tons of thoughts on the draft. And in years past, since I've known Sean, Bucks have always been picking kind of high, and they're not this year. So that's okay. And John Romano in the Times wrote a nice piece on, the headline was, "Don't Sleep on the Bucks at Pick Number 32," and he pointed out that, looking at the 32nd pick for the Bucks, four of the five starting offensive linemen for the Buccaneers were picked after pick number 31. Five of the top six wide receivers, besides Mike Evans, were picked after pick number 31. Eight of the nine Bucks who registered an interception last year were picked after pick 31. And obviously, if you look at the quarterback, he may have been picked after pick 31, I think, right? What was it? It was something more than one. It was 199, I think, right? So yeah, after pick 31. Although the backup quarterback from last year was a top 10 guy. So the point is, like, yeah, it's not as sexy as when you're picking fifth and you have all these names and you know, kind of honing in, okay, we're going to go for this guy, or if so-and-so at pick four or three does this, then we're going for this guy. You know, at this point, it could be any number of names. And the guy that you hear called on Thursday night of next week may not be a guy you're that familiar with. In fact, it probably won't be a guy you're that familiar with. And you won't know for a long time, even though this is true with even top five picks, you don't know for a long time what's going to come of it. At least with the top 5-10 picks, you're pretty familiar with what they did in college and you know more about them. And even if it's somebody like a lineman or something, you've studied them if you're a really, you know, big football fan or a big draft guy in the time leading up to the draft. Whereas this person may not be someone you know that well at all, but that's okay. Because the chances of getting a really good player are not actually that much different than if the Bucks were picking 15th or 10th or whatever. And so when you look at it, And we're going to break down, we're not going to go roster spot by roster spot. When you look at the overall state of the Bucks roster right now, let's do a little rosterbation here real quick. All right, the Buccaneers, if you look at their roster, probably have 40 of the 53 spots pretty well spoken for, where you can already say, yeah, those 40 guys are on the team. Just given what we know from free agency and the people returning from last year, obviously it's been well documented. They are returning 22 starters from their Super Bowl team. And Greg Allman did a nice piece. I retweeted it on my Twitter account. So if you follow me at Bobby Game Day, you'll see it there. You can email me, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com, too, if you want. But on my Twitter, it's there. Or if you follow Greg Allman, which you should, if you're a Bucks fan on Twitter, same with Rick Stroud, same with all the Bucks writers. He had a really good piece, like kind of breaking down what directions the Bucks could go and where they are at each position. We will break that down here on the show today. One thing I wanted to say first before we get into that, though, and then we'll go position by position on what the Bucks have, what they need, what they could do. Okay, there was some news this week in soccer, and it really wasn't news about something that happened so much as something that was proposed and didn't happen. It was this Europa Super League, and I'm not a big soccer guy. I didn't follow it nearly at all before I had kids, and now my son plays soccer, and he also plays the FIFA on the Xbox. So I know a little more about it now than I used to, as far as like, because soccer is so confusing because there's 45 different leagues, and then there's leagues that play other leagues, but also within their own league, and then the seasons overlap. So like they do the Champions League like while the season's going on. To me, structure is what I thrive on, and there's no structure. It doesn't feel like there's any structure to it, so it's confusing. But anyway, the point is, there was news this week that 15 of the top teams across Europe were going to break away and form their own league. You know, they got the English Premier League, they got the Spanish League, Germany, all that. I'm not getting into soccer right now, but follow me on this for a second. Point I'm making is everybody went wild about this. Like, oh my God, can you imagine? Like, all these teams were breaking away, making a Super League, and everybody started comparing European sports to American sports. Can you imagine if, like, the Steelers and, you know, the Packers and, you know, who are the blue bloods of the NFL? The Cowboys. Can you imagine if all these teams, like, broke off and just made their own, like, 15-team league and left the other teams out to dry? Like, that's what this is like. And then other people were like, yeah, man, the European model's the way to go because they have relegation, it's fair, and if you don't finish in the top, whatever, then you get dropped. And on and on and on. Now, of course, the whole thing fell apart after like 3 days because even as cool as it is to think of the best teams always playing each other all the time, what's even cooler than that is having structure where there's a lead. And this is why people say, oh, man, think of all the differences between European sports and American sports. Let me tell you something right now. If you want to look for a model sports league, and I'm not like trying to carry water for anybody or anything. This is me as a fan saying this. I don't care if you European soccer, American sports, whatever. The one we talk about every week on this show, baby, does it better than anybody. The National Football League. There's no need for relegation. There's no need for any of those things. What there is a need for is to take your most popular sport, and in our case it's football, in Europe it might be soccer. Say, here are X franchises, whether it's, we got 32 franchises, these are the franchises, okay? We're going to make incredible revenues, divide them evenly among those teams, have a salary cap and a salary floor, have a draft, which is why I'm getting at this, because we're getting ready to talk about the draft today, and it's a beautiful freaking thing in my mind. You know, in Europe, it's all willy-nilly. A kid's good at, like, in fifth grade, and they have these academies, and, like, you know, Manchester United will just take the kid when he's in fifth grade and put him in their academy, and then they grow him themselves. And now, there's some pros and cons to it, okay? But no, I don't like any sport as much as, or I don't like any setup, I should say. And even though college football is one of my favorite sports, this is one of the things that the NFL has over it. I don't like any sport where the power gets too concentrated at the top. I don't like any sport where teams have inherent built-in advantages over others, whether because of their history, a larger fan base, a larger market, or things like that. Some people that appeals to, like people talk about how European soccer is so damn, you know, democratic because of relegation and stuff. Meanwhile, there's six or seven teams that never, ever, ever get relegated because they have all the built-in advantages. So yeah, it's democratic in that if you don't do well, you get dropped out of the league and you have to work your way back up. That part is a meritocracy. But, you know, I never hear about Chelsea or Man U or whatever the hell the team, you know, they got a million teams over there, but you know the ones I'm talking about, Liverpool, Arsenal, whatever. They ain't getting relegated. And then there's little, you know, Sheffield, whoever, who's got to bust their ass just to get in for a couple years, and then they finish 17th out of 20, they're gone again. Or whatever the cutoff is for relegation. That, to me, no, that ain't fair. The NFL's got it right, man. There is a reason why the NFL is so popular, okay, compared to the other sports. One, of course, and this will always be the main reason, is because football itself is the most popular. I mean, I'm not going to deny that. But beyond that, it's just inherently, like, built into the system. Like a team like Green Bay, that's one of the blue bloods. Meanwhile, if that was baseball, they'd be one of the paupers, like the Rays. Everybody's got an equal chance. Everybody's they do the draft. They reverse the order. You're the worst team. You get the top pick. You're the best team. You get the 32nd pick. Makes sense to me. Everybody's got to spend roughly the same amount of money on the same amount of players. And whoever can do it best and whoever figures out the best way, hats off to them. And then the draft becomes what it's become. What are we so excited about? No other drafts, right? I mean, I know there's the NBA draft and the NHL draft and the baseball draft, but nobody gives a crap about any of those. But the football draft is a bigger deal than, like, the actual championship series in those other sports. I'm not saying this is a football only guy, because I like the other sports, okay? But, so there's all this Super League crap and trying to say, oh, wouldn't it be cool? Try to imagine. Every single writer on Twitter this past week for every sport did a fake, hey, let's pretend we were doing a Super League in my sport. What if college football had a Super League? What if the NBA had a Super League? What if the NHL? If you're on Twitter and you follow sports writer, every single one of them in every sport wanted to do that. And I couldn't be less interested in that kind of crap. I'm glad they canceled this thing, and I'm not that I care about soccer that much, but still, seemed like a bad idea. But hey, the NFL is the cream of the crop, not just because of the sport of football, but because of the way it's set up, and the draft is a perfect example, and it's one of the reasons that we all love it. So let's break it down. What are the Bucks at pick number 32, which is where they are because they won it all? Where can they go? Position by position, I suggest you read Greg Allman's piece on The Athletic. He's the Bucks beat writer for The Athletic, but I'm going over some of it here. So if you look at the offensive side of the ball first, and again, with 13 roster spots, like whoever the Bucks draft probably isn't going to be a starter and may not be someone who has much of an impact this year, or they may be, I don't know, but I mean, in the likelihood that they are, it's because probably somebody got hurt or something. The Bucks are pretty set for the most part. So obviously quarterback, let's start there. They are not going to take a quarterback with the 32nd pick. They may take a quarterback somewhere in the draft, but just pointing toward next Thursday night, that's a no. They do have Tom Brady, obviously. The only other quarterback they have of the top three from last year is Ryan Griffin. Blaine Gabbert could still be re-signed, but has not been as of yet. They do need to get, I don't think they want to go in with Ryan Griffin as the number two quarterback. So either they're planning on re-signing Blaine Gabbert, but they just want to make sure, see what happens in the draft, or they are definitely intending to draft someone. It's hard to say, but I would be really surprised if they went that way at 32. Doesn't mean they couldn't, but I'd be surprised. Running back, no need. You can draft one later in the draft. Obviously, no need to draft one at 32. Wide receiver. Okay, let's look at wide receiver. Mike Evans, Godwin, Tyler Johnson, Scotty Miller's your top four. Antonio Brown still remains a question mark, and I'm not going to get much into it on the show today, but his sexual harassment thing was settled out of court this past week. I don't know if that changes much as far as his appeal to other teams or his appeal to the Bucks, but obviously he's the big question mark. But even without him, they go a pretty solid four deep, like what Tyler Johnson did toward the end of the year last year, and obviously Scotty Miller as well. So I could see them drafting a wide receiver, but I don't think it's a direction they would go with their first pick. Although, again, like let's say Rondale Moore or somebody's out there from Purdue. He's awesome. Like, you know, you can just get a good player. Tight end's an interesting one because you've got Gronk and O.J. Howard both in free agent years. So they will be UFAs after this season. Beyond that, Cameron Brait has no guaranteed money on his contract, so he can be let go at any time. You don't eat anything as far as cap stuff. And beyond that, you've got Tanner Hudson. They're not drafting a tight end with the 32nd pick either, I'm pretty sure. But that's a direction they could go. And then up front on the offensive line, that's one where I said it last week too. I mean, you know, you've got Ryan Jensen. The Bucs' starting offensive line is set, all five. But Ryan Jensen and Alex Kappa are both UFAs after this season. I don't think it's crazy out of the realm of possibility to look at a guard or a center. They're a little more short up at tackle, and their backups along the line are Josh Wells, newly re-signed, and Aaron Stinney. But really, any tackle, or any offensive line position, but especially guard or center, I could see them going that direction. On defense, every spot, again, let's look at it, or let's look at every position group, I should say. The outside linebacker, which is really a defensive end, but in the 3-4, it's called outside linebacker. Behind Shaq Barrett and JPP, they don't have a ton. And so, looking at some of the... And this is not a deep draft in the middle on defensive line, but there's some athletic guys on the edge who could maybe be around because there's a lot of question marks about all of them, but they're all upside guys. So that's a spot I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Shaq Barrett is set to go with his new contract. JPP, though, first of all, he's a little older, and second of all, you know, he'll be a free agent. So they got Anthony Nelson beside him, and that's not really it. I mean, that's it. So I could see that happening. As far as the interior defensive line, this is a combination here where they are stacked on their own roster, and the draft is not very stacked. It's not that deep of a defensive interior lineman draft. They got Vea, Sue, who is 34, Vernon Golston, although he'll be a free agent, Nunez Rochus, Steve McClendon, they just signed, he's 35. Pat O'Connor did really well on special teams. Khalil Davis, they drafted last year. Jeremiah Ledbetter, they got names upon names upon names in those middle two spots up front, combined with, again, not a very deep draft at defensive tackle. So I don't think they go that direction at the high part of the draft. Again, anything could happen in rounds, you know, 2, 3 through 7, because by then, who knows. But I don't think they go that direction in round one. Linebacker, okay, first off, you got Lavonte David. He's 31. So they're set now with Devin White and Lavonte David in those middle two linebacker spots. But, you know, Lavonte David's 31. And the backup, Kevin Minter, is the top backup at linebacker. He's 30. So Devin White, okay, great. But other than that, I think you could use a linebacker. I would definitely think they're going to pick somebody up at that position somewhere in the draft. Corners and safeties, man. Can't ever have too many, especially corners. And this is one where I'm totally fine with them going this route in the first round. Because after Carlton, you had Carlton Davis, SMB, Jamel Dean. Those three are all on their rookie contracts. And they're all in great shape, so that's great. But that's three of them. Russ Cockrell got re-signed. He did a lot on special teams, but also filled in at DB, and he's good. But you can never have too many good corners, and I could definitely see the Bucs going that direction. Then at safety, same thing. You got your three, Antoine Winfield, Jordan Whitehead, although Whitehead will be a free agent after this season, and Mike Edwards. And somebody back there in the secondary, whether it's corner or safety, would also be fine. So looking at their number 32 pick, you know, offensive lineman, corner slash safety, inside linebacker are the ones I think are the most likely. But how the draft unfolds in those first 31 picks obviously has a lot to do with it. Other people have suggested, hey, what about trading down to get more picks since the Bucs don't have a lot of need for this year and they don't have a lot of space either with only 13 picks? How about trading down to get more picks in like other years? Like, what if we trade down, but not for more 2020 picks, but for 2021 or 2022 picks? Because then you'll be losing more people and you'll have more roster spots open. Fair point. And it depends on how big picture or immediate future the Bucs are looking. On one hand, you know, yeah, it's not a bad idea at all because they'll probably be able to benefit from extra picks more so in future drafts than this year's draft. But on the other hand, I mean, what's all the talk been about? Window, right? We've got our window. We need to strike while the iron's hot. You know, trading the number 32 pick for two number twos in 2022 and 2023 or whatever isn't going to help us win the Super Bowl this coming February. And that's where every single thing is supposed to be directed at right now because the Bucs have that opportunity with this roster and returning 22 starters. So it depends. It depends on their mindset and how much they're looking just alone at 2021 in this coming season as opposed to future seasons. But it'll be fun, and I think it's going to be fun to watch the draft. You know, usually it's fun because you're anticipating a Bucs pick. Even knowing the Bucs are picking 32nd, I'm looking forward to watching the early picks in this draft. And yeah, obviously there's a lot of drama at the top with the QB situation. Justin Fields just came out this week. that he's got epilepsy, which to me is not that, I mean, epilepsy is a big deal, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, to me, as a team looking to draft him, is not that big of a deal. And he's managed it this long. Supposedly, he's supposed to outgrow it still. Like, there's, or not supposed to outgrow it, but there's a chance he still outgrows it. And that's not my words. That's the doctors were saying that. But either way, I think a lot of times when stuff like that comes out, there's because the team wants him to drop. And so it got leaked because someone's hoping he falls to them. I think he's really good. I was really, really impressed up until the national semifinal, I think it was, not the national title game, but the national semifinal when Ohio State played Clemson. You know, I had Fields just kind of as one of those guys in that next tier. And, of course, it's all about Trevor Lawrence. But I'll tell you what, he outplayed Trevor Lawrence. He took that shot in the ribs and came back. I mean, he impressed the hell out of me. And that's just one game, but still. Like, Fields is a guy, I think. Like, people are talking about having Fields going behind Zach Wilson from BYU. I mean, the scouts and all the front office guys, the GMs, have all spent, obviously, hundreds of hours on this, okay? And I'm just sitting here as a fan who's watched the games. But I think that's crazy. Like, if I was the Jets, I would take Justin Fields right away. Like, we know Jacksonville's going to take Trevor Lawrence. And then, of course, behind them, there's the 49ers. And if the Jets do take Zach Wilson, then if I was the 49ers, boom. I'd be, like, just thanking my lucky stars for those top three picks. And then you've got the Falcons and Bengals behind them. Dolphins are right there. So it'll be interesting. I mean, it's going to be different from last year's draft because we're kind of back to a usual draft, but not all the way. So it's almost like a hybrid of the past couple drafts. There's not going to be the home footage of all the coaches, which people liked a lot last year, but you're not going to have cameras. No Bill Belichick's dog sitting at his kitchen table, which was great, but that's not happening this year. They'll be back to the war rooms. All 32 teams will have cameras in the war room, so it's not like just select teams are going bigger with that this year. Every team's going to have a podium set up outside, too, to do media with. It won't be a million people in the draft hall, though, in Cleveland either, where like we're used to in other years past. So it's kind of somewhere in the middle. There will be cameras with lots of players being drafted. Those are always fun scenes when a player's sitting on his living room couch and there's a million people around him. He's got the phone to his ear and everyone's kind of listening intently and the player's smiling and then he's like, yeah, I got picked, and everybody goes crazy. That's always fun, right? So there'll be lots of that. But yeah, you're not going to get like Mike Vrabel's kids jumping out of the closet as the Titans make a pick or stuff like you got last season. So either way, I think it'll be a lot of fun. It's always fun no matter how they do it. Email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address on Twitter. Like I said before, you can follow me at BobbyGameDay. There were a few rules that we've been talking about on this show for a while, so they finally had all the votes. First of all, disappointingly, neither of the OT proposals that involved spot and shoes passed, which I told you and which we all knew they weren't because they're just way too... These things with the NFL, these old guys, okay, they're real slow. Even if something is a good thing, they're not exactly the most progressive guys in the world that are going to be like, oh yeah, good idea, let's do it. This proposal for the OT, it's not the last time it's going to show up, but it's definitely several more times it'll need to show up before it passes. But if you don't remember, the spot and shoes was instead of the coin toss to see who gets ball first, this coin toss happens, and then a team gets to either choose where the ball starts for overtime or whether to play offense or defense. So, like, you could say, hey, ball's going to be on the offense's own 32-yard line. And then the other team says, okay, well, we want to be offense or defense. Or you can say, hey, ball's on the offense's own 3-yard line. Then what do you do? Like, do you stick at the ball first? Do you want it? Or would you rather have them have the ball, but they're on their own 3? I think it was a really good idea, a really progressive idea that made sense. I don't think it was radical in any way. But to these old guys, to these antiques that own these NFL teams, yeah, that I think it was like 28-4 it failed or something like that. So forget about that one for a while. We're still playing OT the way that it has been played. And it's still better than college OT, so that's something. But, you know, there's ways it could have been improved. There also will be no OT in the preseason. That one did pass. The sky ref. This was a big one. Having the referee up in the booth just basically be an equal member of the crew where he could buzz down anytime he wanted to. And if he saw something on TV, the way we all can see these things on TV pretty easily and very quickly, he could just tell the guys to change it. they compromised on that one. I wanted to see a full-blown sky ref. Instead, they are going to allow for, I'm trying to read the wording here, expanded duties by the replay official, in the basically expanded advice from the booth. Like, he's allowed to assist now if there's something that they see in a review scenario that's obvious, and he can point. I mean, I'm not really clear. The wording wasn't clear if this means on plays that they're being reviewed to begin with, or if he can intervene on a play that wasn't reviewed. But they're going to give them a little more say from up there. So that's good. Like I said, the couch ref should be able to be like buzz down anytime he wants to and say, hey, I just saw what happened. You need to fix this. They're not there yet, apparently, so they didn't do that. Oh, the 4th and 15, instead of doing an onside kick, the team that scored a touchdown just gets the ball back again, but it's 4th and 15 from like their own 30 or 35 or whatever. That never even got to a vote. They tabled that. And finally, the number rule did pass, so get ready for the league to look a little bit different as far as the player numbers. And I don't like this one. I talked about it before, but it's actually more broad than even I realized. So, first of all, running backs, receivers, tight ends, linebackers, and defensive backs can now all wear single digits. I don't think tight ends and linebackers should be in single digits, but I don't care about it as much for running backs and receivers because it feels natural, and I think defensive backs too. But also tight ends and linebackers. So, okay, that's one thing, and we'll see how many guys want to switch. But now linebackers, and I don't like this one at all, linebackers can wear numbers 10 through 49. Linebackers shouldn't be... A linebacker should be wearing anywhere from the 40s to the 50s. Like that, if you're a linebacker, that's what you ought to be in to me. I don't want a linebacker wearing like number 24, which I don't think a lot of these guys will do that, but I just don't think it's right. I remember Derek Brooks when he was at FSU was number 10, and that was kind of iconic. But that just, I don't know. That's a college thing. To me, in the NFL, I don't like it. And previously, linebackers could wear just in the 50s and the 90s. I'd give them the 40s, too. I'd actually take away the 90s because 90s should be on the defensive line. Secondly, anyway, running backs and fullbacks can now wear numbers from 80 to 89. Again, maybe that's just receivers who move to play running back or something because there's no self-respecting running back. Like, if you're a running back and you're wearing number 88, I mean, come on, you're a receiver. Stop it. You're not fooling anybody, and it looks ridiculous. It's like a quarterback wearing number 20, like Flutie. Receivers and tight ends can now wear numbers from 20 to 49 in addition to 1 through 19 and 80 through 89. Again, no self-respecting wide receiver is going to wear a number in the 30s or 40s, maybe a number in the 20s, but you should stick to 1 through 19 and in the 80s if you're a wide receiver, in my opinion. And then finally, the 50s are now available to all offensive and defensive linemen, where before only centers and linebackers could wear numbers in the 50s. And linemen can wear numbers in the 50s. That doesn't really matter much. So anyway, the point of this is, the main point, any of these guys, especially the popular ones that are well-known, wants to do a number change. There's already talk of Leonard Fournette going back to number 7, which is always his number, and he couldn't do it in the NFL because the rules said he couldn't. We'll see if he switches. But anybody who switches, even though the NFL has billions upon billions of dollars, they ain't going to let you get off that easy. If you have merchandise out there, like let's say, you know, Odell Beckham wears number 13, but he wants to switch to number 3. Every single Odell Beckham jersey hanging anywhere in a Dick's Sporting Goods or any place in the entire country that isn't sold yet, Odell Beckham Jr. himself is responsible for picking up the tab since fans are going to go start buying the new one, number 3. They don't want to waste all those jerseys they printed up. I couldn't tell. I was unable to ascertain if they have to buy those jerseys at retail price or at cost. Knowing the NFL, it's probably at retail price, even though it's a ripoff. But anybody who buys a jersey deserves to get ripped off. So, you know, whether it's Odell Beckham himself or some middle-aged guy with a beer belly who wants to buy a jersey that probably cost about $8 to make and retails for like, what is it, $150 or something like that? I mean, if you're willing to pay that for something like that, then hey, that's your thing. But anyway, forget about that right now. We got our eyes set on the draft, and I should have mentioned this at the top of the show. I forgot to mention, but of course, you probably know by now if you're on the website, the JoeBucksFan.com 2021 draft party is going to be happening at Big Storm Brewing Clearwater. The address is 12707 49th Street North in Clearwater. Just Google Map Big Storm Brewing Company. They've got a huge covered outdoor area. and indoors as well. They've got a great menu to go along with the beers that they have, which are phenomenal. Two lucky fans attending will each win a $250 American Express gift card thanks to Joe's friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Ira Kaufman's going to be there. Joe's are going to be there. It's going to be a ton of fun. I actually have a Little League tournament game. Like, our whole season, like, is, you know, revolves around the postseason tournament. And we have one of our games. Now, the game's at 6. It should be done in time for the draft. I think our games don't take more than about 2 hours. But it's going to be tight. So I'm not sure if I'm going to make it out to Clearwater or not. But either way, get yourself out there. Have a ton of fun. And if you want to go to the website, joebucksfan.com, and get more detailed information, you can do that. It's all on the website. But in the meantime, until then, all right, I want to thank my friends at Bill Curry Ford for sponsoring the show. And, of course, I want to thank the Joes, like I always do, for giving me this platform. This website, it's the best place for comprehensive Bucks coverage anywhere, whether it's TV, radio, newspaper, internet, whatever it is. It's all here, and it's year-round. And you need no further proof of that than this time of year, because Joe Bucks Fan is humming even more this time of year than it is during sometimes in the regular season. So thanks to them for giving me this platform and getting me in front of all of you. And of course, thanks to all of you for taking the time to listen. I will be back next week. It'll be Friday morning when I do the show, so it'll be released sometime Friday midday. We'll wait and see what happens in the draft. But whatever you're doing, hey, this is a chance to have some fun. Have some friends over. I always do it when I can. Go to a buddy's house, whatever. Watch the draft together. Let the drama unfold. Yeah, it's going to be a little later when the Bucks pick. That's good. Stay up till midnight and wait for that number 32 pick. And have fun with it all the way through. But whatever you do, have a great weekend this weekend. Be safe. Have fun. I will talk to you guys next week. That is the final pre-draft edition of the Free Stretch as we get ready for the NFL draft next Thursday night. Until then, take care of yourselves, and wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.